Welcome to Simply Folk. I'm Stephanie Elkins with a great show for you tonight. Sheila Shigley is here, and she's put together a special hour of music that we'll hear a little bit later in the show. But Sheila's not the only one with me here in the studio. The wonderful and entertaining Lou and Peter Berryman are here. Their accordion and 12-string are all set up and ready to go. If you'd like to communicate with us during the show, please join us on Facebook. Look for Simply Folk on Wisconsin Public Radio and then click like when you get there. And you're welcome to post comments, ask questions, put up photos and gig information, song links, that kind of thing. And musicians and venues are also more than welcome to post concerts and that sort of thing. You can also send any comments or questions to simplyfolk@wpr.org. Okay, they play all over the state, the region, the country. They've released over a dozen recordings and literally hundreds of songs. He writes the lyrics and she writes the music. That's a little bit like the Gershwins, I guess. It's a successful arrangement that has worked for over three decades. Welcome, Lou and Peter Berryman.
Thank you. Yes, we're patterned after the Gershwins very much.
He's George and I'm Ira. That's right.
No.
Yes.
No, you'd be George.
I'd be George.
I would be Ira.
Right. Well, it's obviously...
I was thinking of Gracie, obviously.
It's an arrangement that has worked very, very well for you.
We are still having fun at it after all these years. We met in high school in 1964 and started playing music back then. And
really got pretty much down to it and serious when we're as serious as we get in the sort of mid to late 70s here in Madison, and got a job, a regular once a week folk music night at a bar called the Club de Wash here in Madison.
Many fond memories, I'm sure.
Before they were looking to see if they could bring in some more customers. They'd never had any music before then, and so they asked us to come in, and we started on November 18th, 1977, and then we never left pretty much until the late 80s.
Did you charge? Was there a cover charge?
Started out at 25 cents at the door, and we had to talk them into that. They didn't want to charge a cover, but we wanted to, you know, keep out the riffraff. So
25 cents?
And then we kind of went up with the bus fare.
Right. But it was that we had decided that we wanted to let it, because they had never had music, and people really didn't know too much about what they wanted. We wanted people to stop at the door and think about the fact that there was music there. And because it was going to be a different experience. So we still don't think that that music should be for free. It shouldn't just be in the background somewhere.
Taken for granted, right.
Well, we were
a decent light cover. So when it went up to 50 cents, people were like standing longer at the door thinking whether they should come
contemplating
or
whether or not to come in.
That's right.
Well, speaking of the music, why don't we get started with something and then we can talk about your new CD afterwards. What would you like to start with?
Well, this is one that we have on our new CD. We've been playing it for a couple of years now, but it's just a sort of a goofy song about Wisconsin and the strange effects of state spirit. This is called...
One day Peter was looking at... I'm just going to back up a little bit. Peter was looking for some reason at the Department of Tourism website. That's something he did every day, I can't imagine, but anyway, and saw above the title, the banner was Fourth Most Visited State by Automobile, and that became
And that
this
suggested
song.
A title.
Absolutely, that's the title.
3, 4.
Well, Wisconsinites, we don't care if you have great big purplish mountains,
no gas tax,
and factories making steel.
We have beautiful sidewalks.
When it rains, they're covered with worms, and we're the fourth most visited state by automobile.
We don't care if you have buffalo sausages,
yuck,
and cavernous caves,
and 40-foot squid hauled in with a rod and reel.
We have bowling shoe rental germicide spray
for customer health, and we're the fourth most visited state by automobile. We don't care if you have oceans,
glorious blue-green oily oceans,
home to the nuclear sub and the blubbery seal.
We have cranberry bogs
and multiple swamps
and pools
and puddles, and we're the fourth most visited state by automobile.
We don't care if you have fossilized dinosaur knees
and tourist fudge in an 18th century mill
with a real mill wheel.
We have bass boats used under $2,000,
motor and trailer included,
and we're the fourth most visited state by automobile. We don't care if you have natural bridges and buttes,
the Statue of Liberty,
Hollywood,
Dollywood,
purebred dogs that heal.
We have Milwaukee, the 23rd largest city in the USA,
and we're the fourth most visited state by automobile.
We don't care if you have theater.
We have theater.
World-class theater. We have classical dance
and theater, too. We have theater, too.
But also we can say that we're the fourth most visited state by automobile.
Can you?
Some folks that are Wisconsin bound take one look and turn around, but that's not really our fault, is it? Plus that counts as one more visit.
We rank 10th in the country for safety,
9th for apples and 8th for booze,
and 7th for trout for your next Friday meal.
We rank 6th in mining,
and 5th in Christmas trees,
and we're the fourth most visited state by automobile. They say most our visitors are en route
from Minnesota to Illinois
and back,
but who cares if they are?
We are Wisconsinians,
and our confidence comes from knowing that we're the fourth most visited state by golly, the fourth most visited state by golly, the fourth most visited state by golly, by car.
I feel like I have to clap.
And after I went back a couple of after we had been doing that for a couple of months, I went back to the website and the statistic had been taken down. I don't know if they heard this time or not, but, and I never did find out where they got that statistic.
Anything.
People keep asking us, what's the first most visited state by automobile? And I don't know.
We don't know. People who are listening and posting on Facebook could have a look at that and find out for us.
Find out who the first most visited state by automobile
maybe
is.
Maybe there's an expert Googler out there.
Oh, there could be. There are many of them. You do so many wonderful songs about Wisconsin, and you capture the spirit of the state so beautifully, but you are everywhere. You tour all over the country. Do you do your Wisconsin songs elsewhere?
We do some of them.
Some. There are a fair number of our Wisconsin songs that are fairly universal in the fact that they're not so much regional as about regionalism.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, doing a song like our song about Poniatowski is a song that you can do just about anywhere.
It's just like Show Me the Way to San Jose or The Girl from Ipanema or any of those songs that mention. It gives it a nice sense of place, but it does. You don't have to know the place, really, to get the sense of place. But also, we found out interestingly that if we do the first song that's specifically about Wisconsin, then we do 10 more songs that are about being at home and driving around and whatever, people will say, how can you do all those Wisconsin songs all around the country? And there's just one of them that was. But
it sticks in their minds.
Yeah,
gives it the flavor.
You get exactly.
Sure.
So,
but also, if there's going to be a geographical reference in a song, the chances are good it's going to be Wisconsin.
And why not?
And Fond du Lac is a great name for a town in anywhere. But it's not a song about Wisconsin unless you look at it that way.
You also write some beautiful, lovely, poetic lyrics, and on the surface they might look, fairly straightforward. But when you dig deep, they're very much a social commentary. And
well, you know, one of the ways I think about songwriting, for me, anyways, is that it has about the same. I like to write often with the same kind of content that a conversation has. You know, and conversations go from something very serious and heavy immediately to a joke or to something, you know, or something local or universal or something. They bounce all around. And so some people like to write one song that's funny and one song that's serious and do it that way, but we kind of bunch them all up
you
together.
You synthesize that all into a song.
That's fun, yeah. We try to do that. We could. This is a sort of an example of that.
That would be You Gotta Do More? That's, mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be a great example, yeah.
Yeah, this has a whole lot of stuff in it. Mm-hmm. And it has something to do with the...
And Sirius as well. This song was inspired by a comment that we were playing up in Maine one time, which is... And Maine is a place that has a lot of... in common with Wisconsin is that there's a lot of rural stuff, and there are a lot of people who no longer have jobs because all the jobs have gone somewhere else in industrialization. And these people were saying, you know, we all, in order to live up here in this beautiful place, we all have to do more than one thing.
She had a sign out front that was like notary public and bait, you know, or something like that.
Which you see in Wisconsin a lot.
Yeah, okay.
So that's what inspired this song, probably.
More than one thing is what we call this one.
And that's NetServe.
Our niece can teach falcon while bobbing your hair, and peddles her kettle corn down on the square. A Tupperware queen who is running for mayor, she's writing a string of historical plays. She weekly delivers the Bowling Gazette, does counseling too and reducing your debt. Now that's quite a lucrative business, and yet you gotta do more than one thing nowadays. Our nephew's 18 and already he knits, assembles and markets his beekeeping kits. In summer he's known for the cucumber splits he sells from a cart with his pickle parfaits. He'll clean your garage for a nominal fee, he'll rig your dishwasher to run your TV. If you were to ask, he'd be quick to agree, you gotta do more than one thing nowadays. If you need a tutor to teach you to toot, our uncle's a barber but teaches the flute. A notary public and psychic to boot, he'll sell you a coop and a rooster to raise. He'll empty your septic and fill your propane, debug a computer and unplug a drain. If you had a minute, he'd love to explain, you gotta do more than one thing nowadays. John Ed is our brother and fixes our car and patches our shingles with fiberglass tar. On Fridays he drums in a band in a bar, he'll stand on his head in the mud if it pays. He'll find you morels and can lead you to trout, he brews an acceptably powerful stout. If you sat him down, he'd be quick to point out, you gotta do more than one thing nowadays. And then there's our sister masseusing on call, security guarding at night in the mall, and hauling the shelving that she can install that comes with her homemade organic mayonnaise. To take people birding, she gets up at 4 and does all the books at a furniture store, as she will explain as she flies out the door. You gotta do more than one thing nowadays. Our father-in-law, who's a big CEO, does insider trading with company dough. He runs quite a Ponzi, and far as we know, curates a collection of missing Monets. He's into embezzling up to his knees. His company sends all their jobs overseas, leaving the rest of us feeling the squeeze. But you gotta do more than one thing nowadays. Now me, I curl up in a ball in the shed.
While me, I spend days eating crackers in bed.
Our beautiful sanity hangs by a thread, undone by the new economic malaise. We mumble invectives and turn off the news. We lie on our couches and stare at our shoes. Our friends tell us not to take downers with booze, but you gotta do more than one thing nowadays.
If you're just tuning in, my guests are Lou and Peter Berryman. They have just released a new CD, and we just heard Gotta Do More. Boy, that does have a bit of a dark ending. And downers and booze.
Darker and darker, that tunnel.
Yeah, that's true. It does. Yeah. Well, that's quite a workout, too. That's better than push-ups, that song.
Yeah. Boy, you're getting a lot of words in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we mentioned it at the beginning, but Peter, you write the words.
Yeah.
And Lou, you put it all to music.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we get to the part about the corporate CEO, you've got the minor key and all of that, a little bit of, drama.
Yeah. It goes darker there, and it seemed as though it ought to So it just goes into a parallel minor, and it's way that's a lot of fun to do that sort of thing. I think the challenge of echoing or presenting even sometimes a whole new view in the music to the poem that Peter has written is a huge challenge and way fun.
Yeah, sometimes Lou will come back with the melody, and my first thought is, gee, that's not what I had in mind at all.
My second thought is,
wait a minute, it's better than what I had in mind. So, yeah, sometimes we'll do something like, Lou will do something like write a minor part to the happiest part of the song, and it sort of gives it attention, and, mm-hmm. you know, there's all sorts of mm-hmm. things you can do.
Musically.
So, yeah, it's an unending source of fascination and fun, I think. That if it wasn't, there wouldn't be any point in doing it, I guess. But
except for the money.
Right. Oh, yes.
So
all that money pouring
right.
in. Yes.
Right.
Yes. For folks that might not be familiar with you and your work over the years, you share the same last name.
Yeah.
But it's a great friendship, I think.
That's
is the quote,
right.
something
we,
like
and
that.
We met when we were in high school, and we had a brief marriage in the late 60s and early 70s. And when we were no longer a good fit as a couple, we still made music together. We always had bands and played in one way or another. But I should point out that while we were married and beforehand, we never were a duo. We never really.
No, we goofed around with music, but we never.
Yeah, we would learn and practice and stuff, but we always had other people playing. But also, I should point out that right about the time that we got a divorce and started realizing that we just missed our friendship and our musical friendship a lot. That was about the time that I started playing the accordion, and perhaps it's not surprising that no one else wanted to play with us then. So, but during that time, before we were never a duo, but then the accordion came in making us maybe not such an appealing duo anyway. I'm not sure. But I really did go out and get an accordion just because Peter had written a polka. We were playing with two other people, and we were having a lot of fun with it. And I hadn't learned a new instrument in a few years, and I've always played something. And so I just went out and got an accordion and fell in love with the instrument. I just love the piano accordion. And from the minute, the first song that I started learning and teaching myself, I just never put it down, and pretty soon, and 6 months later, we were playing at the Club de Wash, and we were a duo with my accordion.
But it does get confusing because Lou kept the name Berryman, and my wife Christy and Lou's husband have different names, so it's we tried our first LP we called Lou and Peter Berryman No Relation. We thought that would explain everything, but it just made things more confusing. So it's
right.
We should write a song explaining the whole thing, I think.
Right.
But we've been married to other our current spouses for 30 years or something like that now, and Lou and I are still great friends and still trying to make the music. So.
Yeah, right.
Why don't we hear another song, and then I do want to ask you about the new CD and how it came about and all
okay.
of that.
Okay.
So what's the next one on the list?
This is a song, our songs kind of age with us, and this is a song that has something to do with that. It's called Now Everything Does. There's no point in living in the past, they say. Even though there is more of it every day. I don't talk too much about what I've been through. Then again, on second thought, I probably do. Love confused me way back when, now everything does. Swimming made me hungry then, now everything does. I remember Moonlight Bay, the way it was.
to take my breath away. Now everything does. I'm not saying I'm overwhelmed with future shock. I'm not saying I wish I could reset the clock. I doubt I would go back 1 year if I could. Then again, on second thought, I probably would. Summer used to go too fast, now everything does. Cowboys rode out of the past, now everything does. I recall my first TV the way it was. It used to look all blurry then, now everything does.
Beautiful song, but very poignant.
Oh, poignant, yes. Yeah, it's fun to write a little bit of everything, you know. That actually was a song that was, it was a melody that I wrote in about 1964, and I've been carrying around with me. I think it used to be a suicide song, I'm not sure.
It was a beautiful song. It was very adolescent, and I could probably sing the whole thing, but I won't embarrass Peter.
I've gotten a little more cheerful since then.
It's neat the way songs develop and stay with you all those years and come out in a different form. So,
well, and speaking of which, this is your 18th?
18th recording, yeah. Our 12th CD.
Right.
And you can find out all about it on our website at
LOUANDPETER.com.
Probably get sued by the Disney people for that.
Who knows? But yeah, we made our first LP record in 1980 with money lent to us by the owner of the Club de Wash, and he sort of worked on that with him, and that was a great thing. And then we made another album the next year, and then that was we bit off more than we could chew there, and so it took us a couple of years after the next. But it's been about every 2 years we've been able to make a new CD. But it's been actually 4 years since our last recording, but we had a big songbook project that we did in between there. So that's my excuse, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, and I have to say, your website is marvelous. You have the song finder. Well, you would have to have a song finder because you have so many songs.
Yeah, we need that ourselves. So. I thought we might as well.
And you can find the lyrics for all of those songs. Mm-hmm. And this new CD, I believe, has PDFs.
So it's it actually has a PDF right on the CD. In, you know, it's a
enhanced CD.
Yes, you can use it as a data CD and just drag the PDF off it, as well as play it in all your play. It's a regular CD too. But yeah, this is the first time we've tried that, and people seem to like it. So
you also are now selling songs as MP3s. Mm-hmm. You're selling through CD Baby. So you've embraced the whole. Well, the music industry is changing, isn't it?
That's
all
true.
Faster all the time, it seems like.
Yeah, really. If you want to be in business, you have to try for that. And that has been, I've been surprised and gratified by how many people download. And that's just, it's been wonderful. So that most, only about half of our catalog is available, but it's all on CD Baby at cdbaby.com. And that's, there's a link for that on our website if people aren't familiar with that already.
Why don't we hear another song?
Okay.
Okay, well, here's another one.
I guess we have time for one more. Is that about right? Two more? Okay,
great.
Well, we'll do... This is a song that... this is another one from our new platter. And
this was inspired by... We wrote this song this summer, actually. We recorded the song, the whole album, during the months of June and July. So it was inspired by... events in Wisconsin over the past year.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
okay.
This is, and you have to imagine that we're billionaires when you're listening to this.
Yeah, not that
one.
Much of a stretch, I know.
No, no.
I think you have the cape off.
Oh, yeah.
On this one.
Right. Okay.
All of our bedrooms are gilded and burnished
with every conceivable luxury furniture.
Like Tiffany cauldrons of custom-made candy
and lead crystal snifters of a 100-year brandy.
With eiderdown pillows of 1,000-count satin
on 12 poster beds with a view of Manhattan.
A soothing and comforting sight. So why do you people keep asking us how we can sleep at night? We've diamonds the size of split peas on our slippers
and nightshirts of lace with titanium zippers.
Security guards always lurking here somewhere
and shrinks who descend at the hint of a nightmare.
With calmative drugs at the snap of a finger
and classical chamber musicians who linger,
all much to the Sandman's delight. So why do you people keep asking us how we can sleep at night? We've micro-environment sensors all sensing
and solid gold fragrance dispensers dispensing
by screening rooms fitted with priceless recliners
configured by Disney's acoustic designers
with viewing screens bigger than doors of garages
and usherettes wearing gold
and butlers to turn out the light. So why do you people keep asking us how we can sleep at night? With dreams of our limousine fleets holding steady
and jets on the tarmac all fueled up and ready
and 100-foot yachts for our White House connection
and choppers to whisk us in any direction.
While even our house of accountants relaxes,
they've worked it all out, so we barely pay taxes.
Our future is peaceful and bright. So why do you people keep asking us how we can sleep at night? We've 10 miles of shoreline outside Barcelona,
a horse in the Derby, a car in Daytona,
a best of show dog at Westminster, they tell us,
a nether with $2 billion who's jealous,
an 18-hole golf course in Scotland that's private,
an 18-hole golf course in
Kind of.
He said only better, a golf cart by Bentley with chauffeur to drive it.
We don't mean to be impolite, but
why people keep asking us how we can sleep at night. If ever our government lay down the sword, creating a dip in the dow, we might need our nightcaps more liberally poured. But everything's booming right now. And thanks to the coming of privatization,
they'll no longer nip us for free education.
We won't have to spring for the old and the lazy,
or pop for the health of the wretched and crazy.
We're calmer today than we've been throughout history.
So why you would ask us this now is a mystery.
We don't get it, try as we might. Why do you people keep asking us how we can sleep at night? Why do you people keep asking us how we can sleep at night?
That is marvelous.
Oh,
love
you.
That. We've had a few people on Facebook commenting. From Sue, she's got a big smile on her face. Anne says, Yahey, Peter and Louie from Annie.
Yahey.
And Michael M. says, hey, Lou and Peter, what great new songs. Hope you're making your usual trek to the Twin Cities this fall.
We are.
We are. Saturday night right before Thanksgiving, we'll be in Minneapolis.
Wouldn't miss it for the world. And that info is all on our website, too. So
you have quite a touring schedule.
Yeah, it's feast or famine, our touring psychology. We're either really jammed up or we're doing absolutely nothing.
Right. So. It all actually worked out great this year because just nothing much happened for gigs for this summer. I don't know. It really is feast or famine. You just take what you can get. And when we didn't have that much time, when we didn't have many gigs, we ended up with a lot of time to finish writing a bunch of songs and to really take time with recording.
It worked out great.
Making this new album was really fun. We just, more often, we're more slammed for time than that, so we were able to really take our time with it.
I have to ask you about one gig earlier this year, which was at the Capitol. What was that like?
Awesome.
It was, yeah, words fail me, which is unique. That was one of the rare times when we actually did a song. We did a few of rewritten songs that we had put together for the throngs that were gathered there. But we also did one that we did not write that was written many years ago called Solidarity Forever, which everybody knows. But what a stirring song in that situation. It was, I mean, we were tripping over our own goosebumps. That doesn't sound right, does
right.
It?
It was February 18th, the very beginning of the big gatherings at the square. We had the pleasure, I mean, at total honor of pretty much opening for Jesse Jackson and many other stirring speakers. But someone who was helping put together the event asked us whether we could come up and play, and we decided that we couldn't think of any of the songs that we had already written that would really work for it. So we wrote some. Peter quickly rewrote a couple of songs, and there are videos still up on the web if people have not seen them and want to look around.
We have a link for that
on
our site too.
But that was people singing along. It was just absolutely high point of my whole life.
It brought up a whole lot of things. One of them was how music is really important. I mean, it really is. I mean, this was one of those times when you think, gosh, I'm not just making a fool out of myself for nothing in this life, you know? It really is. It could have been a lot of people. It wasn't just our effect. It was just the whole crowd singing together was, I don't want to sound Pollyanna, but it was really pretty stirring.
And, it was extremely. You can see it in the video.
Yeah.
People are just there and
yeah.
So there in the moment, and it was very uplifting for everyone who was there and who can see it in the video. It's just people, we heard from people all over the country were able to be there via that video, and people have been singing those songs. That's the Raging Grannies have been singing the songs that Peter rewrote for that event too.
But we're going to do a song now dedicated to to this show, because this show has been so, Simply Folk and Judy and Tom and you, everybody, this show has been so helpful and supportive of us. And just the idea of keeping people interested in the power of homemade music, it has really done a service for us all over the state. And you can tell when you're in an area in this country that doesn't have a radio show like this, that the difference this makes. So this is dedicated to you folks at Simply Folk.
Absolutely.
This was written for the 30th anniversary a couple of years ago of Simply Folk.
Tremolo about a poor Lothario expiring at the Alamo, and then a bit of Zydeco along the shore of Bistano, a lot of it fortissimo, a little pianissimo.
I bet you my mustachio, there's people on the patio who caught a head of Tremolo cranking up the radio from Hurley to McGuanago. Simply Folk is all you know, enhancing everywhere you go, the dairy lancinario.
The shamisen of Tokyo, the dances of the Eskimo, accordions of Mexico, the rhythms of the Navajo, the ancient songs of Borneo, the twang of San Antonio. It's all on Simply Folk, you know, from Thondalak to Suamico.
I bet you my mustachio, there's people on the patio who caught a head of Tremolo cranking up the radio from Hurley to McGuanago. Simply Folk is on, you know, enhancing everywhere you go, the dairy lancinario.
From Parlez-vous to Do-si-do, a lot of themes are local though. In Manawa, the rodeo, the fire up in Peshtigo, and Norskinook in Osseo, the songs of Yellow Oleo, the fancy Loma Verigo, the anti-Orem Rodeo.
I bet you my mustachio, there's people on the patio, from Carahay to Trumbolo, cranking up the radio, from Hurley to McGuanago. Simply Folk is on, you know, enhancing everywhere you go, the dairy lancinario. So as we ramble to and fro to warble our portfolio, we pause to say we thank you so. Wisconsin Public Radio.
Yay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. That is just marvelous. You capture so much of what it is to be in Wisconsin, to live in Wisconsin. And
it's a great place to live.
It is.
I suppose every place is to somebody, but this is great to us.
Yeah, well, we really appreciate it. Thank you so much for coming in.
Well, thank you, and please keep up the great work.
Oh, we appreciate it, and you can find all the information about their new CD at louandpeter.com. That's spelling out the A-N-D, right?
Right.
That's right.
Right.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Thanks, Stephanie.
Yep.